ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 24. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Verse 17 says, "Now after many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings." You recall that, right? There was a famine down in Jerusalem, and he's going from church to church, and people are giving him money, saying, "Here, take this." They begged him, "Take this money." He said, "No, no, you guys are poor. You keep your money. We'll get it some." "No, you have to let us give this money." Beloved, we need to have a spirit that says, "I'm exercised by these things." It says, "In fact, I came to give offerings," whereupon certain Jews from Asia, underline the words "from Asia," because this is Jews that were in Asia Minor, up there where they were stoning Paul and chasing him around. They chased him all over the landscape. They tried to stir people up, and they found purchase in Jerusalem, and they were kicking him and beating him. He says, "They ought to have been here," verse 19. These are the people who stirred up everybody. And it says, "Or else let these same here say, if they found any evil doing in me." Let them talk about what they know. He says he's not talking about what he knows. Tertullus is a hired gun, and these elders and high priests haven't said anything. He says, "Except this." He says, I'll even testify against myself that in touching the resurrection, I cried out among the assembly of the council about the resurrection of the dead. Remember, we talked about that. When he did that, the whole council was split because the Sadducees don't believe it, and the Pharisees believe it, and there was an argument. Lysias had to go in there and get him out again. another flipping over the apple cart, not knowing what's going on. But he knew his goose was cooked if he didn't get out of there. So he used what resource he had. And he says, "I did that. I'm wrong. I shouldn't have done that. Feel bad about that." And Felix, when he heard these things in verse 22, the Bible says, having a more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them. And he says, "We're going to get Lysias up here." And he says, "And I will know the uttermost part of this matter." And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul, verse 23, and to let him have liberty. Look at that. He's being kept. By the way, that word for "keep" here is the same word for "keep the law." You know, if any man doesn't keep the commandments, you know, that's the same word. It means guard them. It doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect in doing them. It means you're going to keep them in your mind's eye. And always keep your eye to that reality. Keep the commandments in your eye. Because many people today are preaching out there otherwise. And it says this. It says to keep Paul, to keep him under guard, to keep watch on him, and to let him have liberty. And he says, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintances to minister to him or to come to him. This is a guy who's under guard, but he's not in chains now. He's being allowed to have a ministry. See? This is why they call it the fourth missionary journey. Okay, because he's not only got Felix, but he's also got the people. Now, let us hasten toward this last thing, the agenda or the accessibility of Paul. We've seen his accusers, we've seen his advocacy. Now we're seeing his accessibility or his agenda being revealed. It says, after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Interesting how this is written. It is the faith in Christ. He wanted to hear about the body of truth that Paul was all about. He wanted to know about the faith. I wonder if each of us in this room pressed could give an explanation of the faith. You know, truth is very exclusive. That's why people are afraid of it. Jesus said, "I didn't come to send peace on the earth, but a sword. To set a man against the members of his own household," many times. Because a man who chooses truth sometimes loses fellowship and relationship with others who really don't want to go so far as to be specific. The Bible gives us truth, which thus divides men many times. Those who are of the truth and for the truth, they're going to be on one side of the equation. And the Bible says outside of heaven are whosoever loveth and makes the lie. Okay? There's a lot of people who love and make lies. They like to tell themselves there's not going to be a judgment. They like to tell themselves there is no hell. They like to tell themselves that we're all just stardust. We came from primordial ooze. They want to tell themselves all these things. Those are lies, and they know it. They even get crazier. There is no male or female. Right? That's what they say. Do you know that New York City, you can mark X on male or female? Because they don't want to be too presumptuous. Maybe this child will change his mind or her mind. There are places that are doing these things. Why? Because the nonsense continues to grow and it begins to permeate. And after a while, you don't want to offend anybody. And if you can't offend anybody, the only thing that's offensive is truth. So you have to vilify the one who's telling the truth. And then you end up on the wrong end of this courtroom scene we're seeing before us. And so when he came and he talked to Felix, the Bible says that he wanted to know about the faith in Christ. Now this is interesting, not in Jesus, but in Christ. And there's much I could amplify here. I'm going to let you ponder the realities. But he says, and so Paul reasoned of his trifecta. Look at this trifecta. He reasoned with him of righteousness, of temperance, and of judgment to come. Remember what he said? Just and the unjust are going to be raised up. I believe in a resurrection. I exercise myself based upon the knowledge that God's going to raise the just and the unjust one day from the dead. If we die, He'll bring us up out of the dust of the earth, and He will have us stand in the deep carpet. Some of us at the Bema seat for reward, and some of us at the great white throne. And these are the things He would have told him. But it says He reasoned with him about righteousness. You know, you can't be righteous. So let's all just agree. Okay, you're not a righteous person. You need to realize it because of the reality of understanding the problem with righteousness leads to the issue of temperance, which means self-control, power over yourself. That's what temperance is. It's self-control. You know, at the temperance society, people couldn't handle the issue of alcohol. And they still have problems with it today. It's just sanctioned by the government, so everybody thinks it's okay now, because obviously they've got everything under control. I don't think so. But that's what they seem to think and act like. But so you have righteousness, and you try to live righteous, and then you go, oops, my coffee fell. Oops, you know, my car broke down. Oops, oops, oops. And you're just stumbling along doing your very best to control yourself, not to say or do or react or allow, listen, yourself to get up in a frenzy. God sustains when we are exercising ourselves in regard to all this stuff. Because I'm going to stand before Him. We're all going to be seen in our testimonies. And we have to be of the right stuff. We can't be perfect, but we can gain some control. But if you fail once or fail twice, you finally just give up. But that's not what's being said here, because he says temperance and of judgment. Now, when you talk about judgment, you got Jesus in the middle, right? You got judgment. You're going to either bear your judgment or Jesus will bear your judgment. And he brings him to the cross. And when people are brought to the cross, they can see it when they understand righteousness is elusive because we're sinners. We're broken. We're a mess. We have a nature that constantly creates in us tweaks to the left and to the right. Righteousness, temperance, you can't control yourself all the time. And then, of course, judgment. This was his trifecta of all trifectas. This is the one that trumps all the other ones. You got your tempter, you got your accuser, you got your condemner, but Jesus stands as my advocate. And the Bible says, these things I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father. 1 John chapter 2. Listen, this is his message to him. This is his agenda. This is his missionary journey, because it is his accessibility to the highest levels of the government so far. He's going to go all the way to the bar of Caesar and plead his case. And what I want you to realize is that Paul had an agenda that carried him through life. All the stuff of making tents, what he was trying to provide for himself, all of the stuff of propping up the other guys around him, whether it was Silas or Timothy or, you know, chasing down Titus, all of those things, that's the details. But his main goal was that he might be all things to all men, that he might by all means save some. And each one of us has been given a gift. The Bible says that those who receive the word of God on the good ground receive the word gladly, and they bring forth fruit. We have to ask ourselves, am I bringing forth fruit? And the Bible says that we bring forth fruit, some 20-fold, 60-fold, some 100-fold. Do you know, the reality is that you're not measured on the basis of somebody else's fruitfulness. You're measured on the basis of what God has given you. Some people have a great many gifts, and so their 100-fold and 20-fold and 60-fold looks a lot bigger than somebody else who's got maybe one or two gifts, and they don't even realize it. They're like, this is a gift? I never thought of that as a gift. Listen, God gave us gifts, and the gifts are supposed to be conduits through which the grace of God can flow and people can hear the gospel. Our agenda has to be that of the Christian. Paul was a Christian. He taught of the faith of Christ. The faith of Christ is a missionary faith. God sent His Son, and He only had one, and He had Him become a missionary. And we're like, oh, I'd never want to pray my kids would go into the mission field. You ought to pray that. God, please make them a missionary. What an awesome thing that would be. Your work could be just facilitating. D.L. Moody was a great preacher back in the 1800s into the 1900s, and he actually got saved by one guy who was a Sunday school guy, and he won him to Christ, and he only didn't win many. He just had a little small class. He won this guy to Christ, and he gets credit for all the ones he did. So if you get a son, you'd get a daughter, and they go into mission field, that's good. You get credit for that. Beloved, as he comes down to the end, we find that when he heard about him reasoning of righteousness, temperance, and judgment, the Holy Spirit showed up. Because Felix, the Bible says, trembled. You see that? The word means literally he was infused with fear. That is what the Holy Spirit does. He convinces the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That's just what Paul was talking about. It's what God does. He, by His Holy Spirit, convinces the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. And you and I can understand that. What He is doing right now is He's coming face to face with the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says He was in fear, and He said, go your way for this time. And when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Now, understand, this is scary stuff. Because when the Holy Spirit's speaking, you need to answer. Because this man, Felix, calls for Paul again and again. In verse 26, it says, he hoped he would be bribed. But it says, therefore he sent for Paul the oftener and communed with him. Now, you know Paul's still going on about Jesus. He communed with him. And when he was going on about Jesus again and again, Felix never comes across the line. In fact, when he passes the baton to Festus in verse 27, the Bible says after 2 years, Festus takes over in the room of Felix. So he gets the governorship. And he wants to show the Jews some grace, which is what the word pleasure means. And so he left Paul bound. So he never did come across the line. And what I'm saying is that when the real conviction of the Holy Spirit comes, we need to move then. Because when we don't move when the Spirit of God comes, what ends up happening is it gets easier to walk away again the next time. Again the next time. Again the next time. I've often illustrated it like when we lose a loved one. It is brutal. And we go for weeks, perhaps months, and we are devastated by a loss, especially of someone near and dear. But as time goes on, we at least can get up and go through our day. We at least can begin to live a little bit again. And eventually we begin to go on and leave it with the Lord and move forward. And what I'm saying is, that's what it's like with conviction. You run head on into God, He convicts your heart, and you get away with not receiving Him. The next time it's easier not to receive Him, and it's easier, and pretty soon, you're thrice hardened. Pretty soon, you're completely reprobate concerning the truth. I've heard that, I know that, and the devil sneaks in underneath the current when you're sleeping at night, and he gives you, it's like you're working out a problem. Pretty soon, it'll be all right. Well, I married a Jewess, Drusilla. You don't want to despise the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because if you treat it as a light thing, and you treat it as, well, I ate something, and it made my heart flutter. People do that. Then what happens? You get harder and harder. Light received brings greater light, and light rejected brings forever night. Paul's agenda is clear. There's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust, and it was that that exercised him wherever he went. That dictated Paul's agenda. And if we're not exercised by that same principle, maybe we need to go back and reconsider it, because that's what makes life real. Jesus said in John 10:10, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Would you bow with me for a moment? Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. And we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.